Okay, thank you all very much for coming. I'm talking today about a pilot intervention that we are developing at UIC in Chicago. It's for men who have sex with men who use cocaine or methamphetamine. And I have nothing to disclose except that I received funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse for this work. Okay, so this link between stimulant use and unprotected anal sex is, there's a lot of evidence for it, for a very strong link, especially in the MAX study, the multi-site AIDS cohort study, that men who used, especially meth, were up to five times had the odds of converting. HIV conversion. There are a number of theories about why this should be the case. Certainly the idea that that substance use and HIV are intertwining intertwining epidemics, and that the same factors are sort of causing both, and they can't really be dissociated from each other. There's also probably a neurological link between substance use, between these stimulants and the desire and increased arousal and desire for certain kinds of sex. So, and finally, of course, the importance of social networks. So, the same groups of people are engaging in drug use and also in unprotected sex and certain areas of the country and urban versus rural, all those factors are important. Now, our sample were predominantly African-American men who had sex with men, and for them there are additional factors that are very important. Marginalization, both racial, ethnic marginalization, but also within the ethnic group, marginalization for their sexual minority status, and finally for the drug use, which is also very stigmatized. And we had an older population which is further marginalized within the group of, well, certainly within the gay community. So we used the theories of minority stress and internal homophobia to guide our intervention. And here's the flyer. So basically, in terms of graphic design, it was certainly meant to attract to advertise a kind of community rather than, you know, some kind of. It didn't have a shirtless guy or whatever, but it was more meant to be community. So this is a small group intervention, and these are the aims. It's to reduce incidence of unprotected anal intercourse and also to reduce stimulant use. The elements of this intervention are, one of the key elements is group process, which basically is from the literature on group therapy, how groups work to be therapeutic, how the group dynamic amongst the group members. We also address the sexual and racial minority stressors. We tried to reframe experiences, have people talk about their experiences of sex while on stimulants. And then one of the key elements was that we tried to make an inexpensive intervention that would use peer health educators. Okay, so as I was just saying, group process is something that's not really very common in public health interventions, but it's basically the idea of trying to get a group together to, over a long term, to address their issues amongst themselves with only minimal guidance from the facilitator. So we recruited our sample through mainly through health providers, mainly through community health provider, which was Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago, and also through other providers. And all of the members of the group had to have had unprotected anal intercourse while using stimulants. So one thing that was important for this pilot study was to see whether we could get attract participants without really incentivizing them. We did pay for the assessments, but not for the actual attendance. And basically, along with the group process, we also had sort of topics that were discussed, which ranged from stimulant drugs in the brain, the kind of neuroeducation that has been very cutting edge in substance abuse treatment, and then down to issues about marginalization, homophobia, discrimination. But this was this wasn't the core of each session. Instead, the core of each session was a kind of open group discussion. Okay. So what kind of outcomes we were looking for included drug use and sexual risk behavior, also some psychosocial measures, and we had some mediating variables, which actually we were not able to look at very closely in this pilot study, but hopefully in the future, in terms of what kind of other treatment people had had, and also which particular group they were in. Here are the measures that we included. The CELSA is the social and emotional loneliness scale for adults. So it's a scale about loneliness, essentially. And sexual compulsivity is a very well-validated scale that's used in clinical contexts. So we also created a couple of healthy sexuality scales for this study. So here are the participants. 80% were African American. Almost 80% were HIV positive. And the predominant substance or stimulant use was cocaine. Of course, this sample also used alcohol and marijuana and other drugs, and some used methamphetamine. So, and I should point out that some participants, because we didn't pay for the sessions, some of them never showed up to anything. So, of those who were enrolled. So I'm not analyzing that group of people. So this is really an as-treated analysis rather than an intent to treat. Okay, sexual behavior at baseline in the previous 2 months, median was 3 male partners, and 70% had had unprotected anal sex at least once. And another 70% had used crack cocaine or meth. Now, of the people who did attend the sessions, we were happy that they tended to attend the majority of sessions. The mean was 6 sessions. So that was a good sign that this could actually be feasible in a setting where you wouldn't really be able to incentivize, in a community, in a CBO where you couldn't incentivize people for attending. And I put some of the written evaluation comments here. We're actually looking at these in a much more systematic way, as you can see, I think that this group brings out lots of emotions and feelings I forgot about. A lot of the comments were related to the depth sort of discussions, the in-depth discussions that were possible in a 10-week intervention. And then a number of people also said at the last session that they wished that CTalk was longer, which was actually, not only did they say that, but the facilitators also reported that they were very, that they really wished that the intervention had gone longer. So outcomes, we have an 80% follow-up rate at 12 weeks, we've looked a little bit at the non-responders, but didn't see much there. So here is just, and keep in mind this is a pilot study, so, but there were some significant declines in unprotected anal intercourse between baseline and the 12-week follow-up for those who, were followed up. And also, there were significant decline, quite significant declines between baseline and follow-up in stimulant use before or during unprotected sex, which was the focus of the intervention. And I should say also that this was not intended to. We didn't talk really about abstinence from drugs and alcohol in this intervention. So, and also in stimulant use itself, between baseline and follow-up, there was a shift, in fact, not to abstinence, but to lesser, the light blue is a few times in the last 2 months, whereas the dark blue is several times a week. So at baseline, 34% were reporting use several times a week, and they shifted to less frequent use. So, and here are some of these psychosocial measures. We found actually a pretty significant increase in the positive direction in the sexual compulsiveness scale, and also in the social and emotional loneliness scale. And the sexual compulsiveness scale is a little bit surprising because it's a clinical measure, and we weren't really so the fact that people reported less sexual compulsiveness after having gone through our intervention was a very good thing. Okay. So, and we didn't see any change in the drug use self-efficacy. And that actually, I think, was because it was confusingly written. We took the scale directly from the literature, but it's somewhat confusingly written, and it's kind of a double negative, and so that may be the reason why there was no increase in drug use self-efficacy. Okay. Oh, and then this other measure. There were some measures that we created ourselves. I prefer having sex using meth, cocaine, or crack. Fewer people endorsed that by 14%. And then there were a few other items like that that actually went in the right direction in terms of meth use, meth and cocaine use. So to summarize, this pilot study showed a moderate but statistically significant decline in unprotected anal intercourse. And unprotected anal intercourse with stimulants. And the measure, by the way, was it was a timeline follow-back, so it was the previous partners. And then we also found a substantial decline in heavy stimulant use, improvements in loneliness and sexual compulsivity, and then some changes in attitude towards stimulant sex. So I think critical aspects of this intervention was that we tried to encourage substantial interaction among participants. Now, actually, we've separately analyzed some of this data to look at previous acquaintances in these groups, because we happened to ask at the beginning of the groups, does anybody here know each other? And it turned out that a very large number of people did. I mean, it's a small community. And so we wondered what influence that had on a success in the intervention. So we're doing a separate analysis of that. But our aim was to build an active community. So what we want to do in future work is to look at how the intervention actually affected social networks going forward after they completed the intervention. And it's rare to see an intervention that has examined continued social ties among the participants in these small group interventions. Typically, they're educational and they're not meant to create friendships necessarily. Some are, certainly, but not always. And it's rarely analyzed in those terms. Okay, so limitations are quite severe, I guess you could say. I mean, given that it's a pilot study, there's no control group. I mean, many of these things could have just been the Hawthorne effect, just people being involved in any intervention. It was an as-treated analysis. And then we weren't able to look at a number of partners because of a discrepancy in the way we asked the question. But I think it was successful in the sense that we did successfully recruit and retain African-American MSM who use stimulants and HIV-positive men who engage in unprotected sex. And these are critical populations to reach. And that it focused on harm reduction rather than abstinence. But nonetheless, we did produce some reductions in stimulant use. And finally, that we use peer facilitators and that the costs, we hope, will be low if it's implemented in the community. Okay, so future directions, well, we do want to look at those mediating variables. We want to look at the random effect of a cohort or facilitator, and then perhaps if it's seems worthy of doing, we might look at this in terms of a randomized trial to see if that Hawthorne effect really is what accounts for these changes. Now, actually, some groups in Chicago, CBOs in Chicago, have already requested that they want to use this intervention already without the randomized trial. So, which is very nice. But I think it's worth more research on this kind of sort of open group process intervention for a very marginalized population, I think is worth doing. That's it. Thanks.